Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, bethelstratford.org.
During the Brezhnev era, at the height of the Cold War, Billy Graham visited Russia and met with government and church leaders. Conservatives in the West harshly criticized him for treating the Russians with such courtesy and respect. He should have taken on a more prophetic role, they said, by speaking out against the abuses of human rights and religious liberty. One of his critics said, "Dr. Graham, you have set the church back 50 years. Graham lowered his head and replied, "I am deeply ashamed. I have been trying very hard to set the church back 2,000 years.
The month of September has introduced a sermon series, and you may not have been aware of just the exact title, but we have entered into a sermon series. Pastor Stanley started off our first sermon, and we were talking about the good news and the gospel. The series is called The Early Church. And so in preparation for this series, what happened, Pastor Chad cast the vision, and he shared with the rest of the pastoral staff what he was looking at, and then he started saying, here's some of the topics that I want you to take a look at. And so we got together collectively, and we started brainstorming what this series could look like. We started thinking about some of the passages of Scripture that we needed to really highlight. But most importantly, this series is about you and I understanding the core values that God introduced when the early church was birthed. Because we believe that some of the core values, matter of fact, any core value that God introduces is important to us. And so we believe that the core values that God introduced in the early church are very pertinent to you and I today. And so we're going to be talking about that this morning. And we're going to talk about in just a moment about the emphasis of community. And we'll look at what the core value that was really in the center of community. And so this morning, before I get into my message, I do want to remind you that as we were brainstorming this particular series, we want you as a congregation to grow with us, and we want you to go deeper. And one of the ways that you can go deeper, especially in this series, is to engage in the reading plan. Many of you would have received that through the email, and we put out, there's a reading plan. And what it is, it's reading a chapter a day from the book of Acts. And so if we started last week on chapter 1, so it's not too late, and you can just start getting caught up. You should be around chapter 8 today. I found there's a great app called Bible Gateway, and Bible Gateway has an audio version of the Scripture, and it's dramatized. And if you really want to enjoy getting through the Scripture, I encourage you to go to Bible Gateway and click on the dramatized version of reading through the Bible, and just listen to the book of Acts. It's really cool. They got all kinds of sound effects that are going on, and it causes the book of Acts to come alive, and so it should. The book of Acts needs to come alive for you and I today. So we're going to talk about community this morning, and the main point of this sermon, as we looked at this aspect of the early church, is that the gathering is God's plan. The gathering is God's plan. And you know and I know how we really felt that, especially through COVID, how, man, we missed that. We missed the gathering. And we did our best. And I think God honored that and blessed us as we gathered together often on Zoom. But, man, when it was possible for us to gather in person, we realized, oh, how much we missed that. And so the main point this morning in this part of the series is the gathering is God's plan. I I just want to just go back. Let's go back to the Old Testament for just a moment, and we'll pick up on just a passage of Scripture that just kind of highlighted the emphasis in the Old Testament. It's found over in Ecclesiastes 4 and 12. And it says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? You can see the emphasis in the Old Testament. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. In Old Testament, wherever you go, you can always find how God's emphasis upon people come together. The New Testament, certainly over in Hebrews 10, 25, it talks about forsake not the gathering of yourselves together. Now, this is key right here. That verse always it looms heavy on my heart because this is forsake not the assembling of yourselves together so much the more as you see the day approaching. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that have been happening in our world that would suggest very strongly that the day of our Lord is soon. And we've been, especially, and I'm thinking of some of the terrible disasters that you and I have been witnessing just in the last couple of weeks. I'm thinking about earthquakes. I'm thinking about flooding. All these things, you know. Sure, you can tell me that they've happened before, but not at this intensity. Not at this intensity and not at this frequency. And so I just really encourage you that as you think about that, realize that what God is saying to all of us is how important it is for us to come together. And so that's what the whole emphasis of this message is going to be. So I'm going to look at Acts chapter 4 and verses 32 through 35. This is, we'll give you a little bit of background in just a moment. So let's pick up on Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, and it says this. All the believers, this is what was happening in the early church, all the believers were one in heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. So just let's try to unpack just a little bit of history here and some of the things that were going on in that verse, those verses from 32 to 34, 35. First of all, it was an incredible time in history for the first church. This is the first church. This was the birth of the church. It wasn't ideal conditions. I don't think it ever is. I don't think there's such a thing as ideal conditions. We're always the church. You're going to find yourself in situations that are often pressurized, situations that you would say, well, I wish it were this way. Well, I don't think that really is our option. And so it wasn't the option for the first church. And what happened is they found themselves being birthed right in the middle of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was dominating the landscape. There were Roman soldiers all over the place. The politics of that day were centered on Rome. And so all these kind of things, and they weren't happy. They were being treated as slaves, second-class citizens. They were marginalized and so forth. But in the midst of all of that, the church was being birthed. The resurrected Christ, get this, the resurrected Christ had ascended into heaven and was now seated at the right hand of the Father. Early on, probably about a couple of months just earlier to what we just read, there was this hope, okay, that Jesus, now that he's risen from the dead, he's going to set up his kingdom, and that they're going to take over, and they're going to take care of the Roman soldiers and the Roman Empire and all this kind of thing. That's not what happened. As they witnessed Jesus being ascended into heaven, they discovered that now that they were being left there, but with promise. And Jesus, as he promised to them, that I've got to go. But the reason I'm going is so that my Holy Spirit will descend upon you, and that my Holy Spirit will empower you, and that wherever you go, I'm going to go with you. So the early church had this tension. They had witnessed the death and the burial of Christ. They now were experiencing the Holy Spirit being poured out upon them in ways they had never seen before. The Holy Spirit had been poured out, and Jerusalem was now being turned upside down. This verse is in the setting, in the context of a city that really was questioning what on earth was going on. It was unprecedented days for them, but the church, as we now know it, was coming together. So the Holy Spirit had been poured out in Jerusalem and was now being turned upside down. In chapter 3, just the chapter before this, the crippled man who was lame from birth, who was sitting, was always sitting at the temple gates, now he was leaping and praising God because Peter and John on the way to the temple around 3 o'clock in the afternoon one day, they see him and the power of God comes on them and they tell, hey, silver and gold have I none, but such as we have, give unto thee. And this man steps up, he's healed, he's leaping, he's praising God. What a stir was happening now in Jerusalem. In chapter 4, because of this lame man who now is experiencing supernatural healing and he's no longer a cripple. So in chapter 4, Peter and John, they are arrested. They're arrested because they've been preaching the good news and they're going around telling everybody, this is why. This is why Jesus came, and this is why the Holy Spirit has come, so that his power will be released. And that's why this individual right here, and you've seen him day after day, and now he's leaping and he's praising God. Oh man, what a sermon, eh? You're there preaching, and you got the man that was lame, and now he's healing, and he's jumping all around, and you're trying to preach a sermon, and they're having a great time. But the Bible says that in chapter 4 that Peter and John are arrested for preaching. And at the same time, As they're going through this, and the politicians and the lawmakers of that day, they have no idea what to do with what's happening. People were getting saved, and the Bible tells us that people were getting saved left and right. In this particular chapter alone, it records that over 5,000 men were saved. That does not include the women that were coming to the Lord. That does not include the teenagers that were coming to the Lord and children. So you can see that the numbers, conceivably, we are talking about maybe 10, 15, maybe even 20,000 people have been coming to the Lord, and they're now looking for some place to gather. They're trying to figure this out. What are we doing? We've got the good news, and there's no established church buildings, and there's no, you know, they don't have the communication system. It was so antiquated compared to what you and I know. So the Bible tells us that in this chapter a little bit earlier, that the government officials, they were left speechless. They were left speechless because of what God was doing. It was unprecedented times. And the Holy Spirit, as you read in the same chapter, as the Holy Spirit has been poured out, people are getting saved. The community around them is just really, they're caught off guard. They're awestruck. And as the church realizes one of the things that they have to do, one of the things they have to do, whether they understand or not, is to gather together for prayer. So prayer became essential to the early church. Now, it's obviously that's a core value, and it's not the one that we're going to zero in on today, but it's worth mentioning at this point. And the Bible says that after they had met together and the Holy Spirit came afresh and they were all baptized all over again, that the place where they were meeting was shaken, was physically shaken by the presence of God. So you got people come together, you got prayer meetings taking place, and the Holy Spirit is manifesting himself like no other day. So people all over Israel, they were saying, have you heard this phrase before? We've never seen anything like this before. You ever heard that before? And we're hearing it all the time, right? In our world. But here's a culture, and they're looking around. We have never seen anything like this before. This was a new day. This was a new day, and the only thing the early believers knew to do was to come together. It was a core value that God was introducing of his people, community, yes, and coming together and to see what the Holy Spirit would do next. The early church clearly understood, united we stand, divided we fall. I want you to take a look at a video clip this morning, and it is some testimonies about from our life group people. And there's a number of people that are actively involved in life groups. But back in those days, in the early church, there were life groups happening. And so watch this video. Hey, I'm Pastor Charlie, and I'm in charge of all of Bethel's life groups. And, you know, I'm excited about life groups, but instead of me telling you about life groups, why don't we hear from the life group members themselves?
I like coming to life group because we have good food, and fellowship, we pray for each other, encourage each other, great support group.
I like coming to life groups because it's a chance to connect with other people, a chance to share with each other and pray with each other and become a special part of a group.
Oh, I love it. Everybody can get around and say all of the things that they can come, and we get into the prayer and everything, and that's so good, and I just love it. And everybody here is so good about doing it too.
To bug Pastor Charles.
I come here because I want to prosper.
I can get some insight from them, and inspired by their words.
I like life groups because it gives me focus.
I like life groups because we have lots of laughs, and everybody becomes family.
Life group because it's a safe place. I love the people in my life group.
So, life groups with jelly beans.
There are several others that we've asked to share, and we're going to show those videos at some other point in time. But we have so many people that are part of our life group as it exists, and we'll talk to you a little bit more because of the recent development that we've had in our church. My second point today for you is that community takes care of each other. In Acts chapter 4 and verses 34, it says this, that there was no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. So once again, let me try to help you unpack what was going on historically at that church as they were faced with this moment. So you need to remember that prior to what had happened just about a month ago, people from all over the world were gathering for Passover. It was an annual thing, and that was during the time that Jesus was crucified and rose again. So things were certainly all altered. Then 50 days later, then there was the Feast of Tabernacles. We would call it the Feast of Pentecost. And so then Pentecost takes place, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So we had Jews from all over the world who have traveled to celebrate Passover and now Pentecost. And this is what we're finding here in Acts chapter 4. And so there were thousands of people. Many had not planned to stay in Jerusalem for a long period of time because they would be, well, we'll just go for Passover. Maybe we'll hang around for the Feast of Pentecost and then move on. But now these were unprecedented days, and people were lingering, and people had needs, and people were running out of food and places to stay. And so it was putting pressure upon this fledgling church. And so needless to say, they were a needy bunch. And now, so was this a moment? And this is what I observe about the church, wherever it's found, that when the church is under pressure, it produces. I have noticed that when things are going quite well, and, you know, no pressure, you know, no persecution, we're not struggling with poverty, that the church doesn't do that well. But when the church is under pressure, and when the church is feeling whether it be poverty, whether it's feeling persecution, whether it's feeling prosecution, whether it's feeling like they are all by themselves, that the church produces. And I put in my notes this morning, and it's a question for us today: was this a moment when desperate times would require desperate measures? Was it a time that desperate times would require desperate measures? Was this a moment and time when discretion would be required. How are we going to do this? I asked this question this morning. Was the early church just about meeting needs, or was there something else? Now, I want to pause here just a little bit, and we'll probably touch on this more next week. But when we were discussing this point here as pastors, we wanted to just highlight briefly to you that when it comes to meeting needs, there's a couple of things that we have going on, especially in the fall for our church. Number one is in October, you remember we have what we call as Givetober. And Givetober is about how we as a church look to meet needs in our community. And that's not an easy task, and it requires a lot of soul searching, and it does require us, you know, investigating and finding out, you know, what the need is and how can we meet it best. And so our world is needy. But so you'll hear more about that in another week or so about Givetober. Also in our church, and this has been probably going now for a good year or so, we have on our website is something called the needs button. And the needs button is really about internally. It's how we meet the needs of our people. And so what we've often said to you is that if you have a need, go to the needs button, and then we have one of our ladies, Cheryl Ferrello, and she begins to process that. And it depends on what the need is, and also depends on the resources. And so sometimes it's an easy fix. Sometimes it's, man, we'll just give a gift card. Sometimes, you know, it's somebody just going over and helping with maybe a physical type thing. And then, but other times there are needs that require maybe some guidance, require some kind of counseling. But the bottom line here is that meeting needs was an integral part of the early church. And we believe that in our day, for Bethel to be involved in meeting needs is critical. And we know, and sometimes we've come to the conclusion that there are times that when we go to meet some needs, that we don't know, you know, is this very legit? And we've talked this over, and Pastor Chad is always very, very good at this. And he'll say, you know what? There are times that we have to take a risk. And we're okay doing that. And sometimes we say, okay, you know what? We're gonna take some action. We're gonna help meet that need. And maybe it's not as legitimate as we think it is, but we don't know, and we leave that with God. And so we are always trying to use wisdom in discretion. But the bottom line is here that in the early church, that when they came together, they met needs, and it was desperate times. And you can tell by some of the action and the activity of the early church that they were willing to do some crazy things in order to help meet the needs. And so today, as we look at the church in our day, of the value of meeting needs and paying attention to one another, it is high, and it has not gone away. So keep that in mind. And point number three this morning is this. Community gives strength in numbers and puts us in alignment with God's will. I don't know about you, but it is my desire on a regular basis to be knowing that I'm doing God's will. And I so appreciate our lead pastor and Pastor Chad and Pastor Melissa both. We as staff, we see this. We see this on a regular basis where our lead pastors, their desire is not to run ahead of God, and they don't want to drag behind God, but at the same time, they want to be in step with God. And one of the ways that we can become in step with God is as we come together. And that's why this point is talking about saying that community gives strength in numbers and puts us in alignment with God's will. You know, God never intended us to be islands unto ourselves. He never intended us to be off on our own doing our own thing, but he always intended that you and I would be part of his body, that we would be integrally connected with one another. And in the early church, you just saw it happening over and over again. The emphasis came. They went from house to house. I mean, you talk about life groups, you talk about home groups. I mean, it was happening. It was happening because of the pressure, and it was happening because they recognized how much we need each other. They recognized that it wasn't just a gathering maybe on Sabbath in their day, but it was something that throughout the week they needed to come together. They needed to be able to say, what is going on? We've seen all these people come to the Lord. What are we supposed to do next? How does that apply to me? How does that apply to my family? And so these are the questions that became intimate and so important for them to come together. It was an incredible and unprecedented moment for the early church, and everyone, as you read the scriptures, you found it at the end of Acts chapter 2, and certainly after reading today at the end of Acts chapter 4, you see how important it was to the early church. And so I think meeting needs in community will always be a part of the church. That does a part of what a church does, but that's only part of what God was setting in motion. I think meeting needs is important, but that's not all. That's not all. And, because resources run out. And sometimes our ways and means run out. But so coming together, meeting needs is good, but there was other things that God had in mind. And I think meeting needs in community will be always a part. And I'm repeating myself with that, but it's good. It's a good point to repeat. I think meeting needs in community will always be part of what the church is, but that's only part of what God is setting in motion. The early church core value is this, that whenever the church comes together, needs are met and growth occurs. Let me repeat that again. The early church core value is that whenever the church come together, like we're coming together today, and we meet throughout the week and throughout the months, is that needs are met and growth occurs. Let me just kind of drill down a little bit on that. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, and we'll pick up on verse 11. If you follow Paul was an incredible teacher, but like many teachers, they would have their visuals, they would have, you know, certain object lessons or whatever. Paul's New Testament teaching model was the human body. He would often refer to the body, and people understand, just like you and I understand how important that the body functions. And so over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he starts to articulate his New Testament model for the church. And he says this, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people. See how it's working all together here? To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. All right, coming together. That's good. We're meeting needs, yes, but the body of Christ is being built up, coming together. Are you starting to hear that over and over again? Because I got a challenge. I got something to put out to you at the end of this message, so I hope you're paying attention very closely. So he says, to equip his people for works of service And then he says this, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then he says over in verse 14, and you can see once again, the emphasis and this core value back in the days of the early church was, yeah, we need to come together, we need to meet the needs, but we need to also grow and we need to mature in faith so that we'll be like Christ and we'll be his representation to our world. And he says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind, by wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. That is so important because, you know, in our world with the internet, I mean, there's all kinds of teaching out there. There's all kinds of doctrines that are being out there. A lot of them are very, very good. But there are every once in a while, there's something else that will come along. And that's why we need the body. And that's why we need to come together so that we receive the balance. That's why we receive the growth, the nurturing, and we mature in Christ. And so Paul says this, referencing, once again, the human body as his teaching model. He says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, talking about Jesus Christ, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You can see how important it is that some a scripture like this, that you hear it on Sunday morning, but how important it is that in a life group we're able to talk about this and to unpack it. The core value then of coming together and meeting needs was important. However, maturity in Christ and making disciples was more important. So when we come together, Christ-likeness is our testimony. Often you hear, well, you know what the criticism you hear about church is? They're a bunch of hypocrites. A bunch of hypocrites. But Paul would say the reason is because we're not growing, we're not maturing in Christ. And that's why that he made it quite clear that our maturity in Christ, making disciples, was that's our example. That's our lifeblood. That's the message that needs to go to our neighbors and to our friends. When we come together, Christ-likeness is our testimony to a world that desperately needs our Savior. Does that ring true to you today? Yeah, are you aware of a world that desperately needs our Savior? Are you aware of a world that is, the look on their face is hopelessness? The look on their face is, what is going to be happening next? And so when we come together, Christ-likeness is our testimony to a world that desperately needs our Savior. We come together so we can be more like Christ. Philippians 2 states, we come together so we will be united with Christ. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. And once you hear Paul, and as he's teaching to the people at Philippi, he says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. How do you get all of this? How do you understand this? Do you pick it up on a church service on Sunday morning? No, you don't. You know how you pick this up? You pick it up as you identify, as you associate with the smaller groups within the church community. That's how you do it. And that's how we come together when we're able to sit around a table and we're able to talk and we're able to ask questions. We're able to be transparent with one another. And so Paul says this, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, Paul says, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So let me wrap this up. And as I wrap it up, I wanted to present some opportunities to you as a congregation. And we're going to be ready to really respond today. And I trust that what you're hearing right now is the need for us to come together. And I'm talking about more than a church. We need the corporate experience, but I'm talking about the need that you and I have to come together throughout a week. The need you and I have together to identify with a smaller portion of the body of Christ. You know, like how the hand works together with the foot and so forth. And there's all kinds of examples. So we as pastors, and this is important. This is why we were able to we chewed on this a little bit as we were preparing this series, the early church. And we're considering the core values, and we drill down on life groups. And you know we changed the name from small groups to life groups, but there's a good reason, because we do life together. And we need to be in a place where we can encourage one another. So we as pastors believe life groups are God's ideas. I know we give them the name, but the coming together in smaller gatherings, that's always been God's idea. That was core value. We believe Bethel should be a life group church, or should be a life group church, but not just a church with life groups. And so for years, we've been a church that's had small groups, and that's okay. But we believe that God is taking our church to a whole new dimension, so that we are a life group church, which means that everything that we do is somehow connected. That's the main building block. That's the main structure of our church, is that it's life groups. People are part of a life group. And when you come to church, somehow we get you connected to a life group. We believe life groups can help meet the needs of the community. We do believe that. We believe that God can use life groups to help meet the needs in their neighborhood. We believe that life groups are integral to our people, especially when they go through some terrifying times or life crisis. We believe that life groups are one of the ways that we do pastoral care the best, because we get to know each other, we get to love each other, we get to listen to each other, we get to laugh with each other. There's so many things. So we believe that life groups can help meet the needs of the community. We believe life groups can help you mature and become like Christ. We believe that it is God's plan that we're not tossed and to and fro and we're blown away by every wind of doctrine or wave of doctrine, but we grow together. We believe that life groups do help us to mature. We believe life groups are to be fertile and reproductive. We believe everyone who comes to Bethel should be vitally connected to a life group. I hope you're listening. Okay, I hope you're listening very closely. And for those that are already connected to a life group, that's great. Keep it going. But for those that today say, well, I'm not connected, okay, don't. Just hang in there with me, because I've got some opportunities for you at the conclusion of our time together. So we do believe that everyone who comes to Bethel should be vitally connected, because God doesn't want you going it by yourself. God doesn't want you, you know, bumping into the walls. And if there's ever a time that we need to realize that we are the body of Christ, it is now. And we are stronger. We are definitely, we're not only better together, but we are stronger together. However, our present reality is this. Last Sunday, the last life group leader came up to me and said, Pastor, we're at max capacity. We don't have room for anybody else. Well, here's the thing. Just previously to this one life group leader came up. I started about a month ago or so. One of the life group leaders comes and says, Pastor, we don't have any room. We got to cut it off. Okay, you know, I'm kind of disappointed. Then I had another life group leader said, our life group's full. We can't take anymore. And then another one came and said the same thing. My life group is full. I'm thinking, man, what am I going to do? I got life group Sunday coming, and I really want people to be able to get connected with a life group and what I'm going to do. And so then I get talking to Grace about our life group. We meet on Monday night, and we've been meeting throughout the summer, and we're having a great time. And I think, man, it's awesome. And then I'm thinking, okay, man, we're going to be okay. We're going to be, you know, one of those groups that will accommodate some people. And so I'm having this conversation with Grace, and she looks at me and she says, our group is maxed out and we're not going to take any more. And I want you to know, when Grace says no more, she means no more. And so now I'm between a rock and a hard place, because our life groups have any more room to take on new ones. And so our life groups are maxed out, but I've got an opportunity. I've got an hope to hang in there with me. I've got an opportunity for hang on there with me, okay? So we need life group leaders. We do. If you think you would be interested in leading a life group leader, I got something for you. If you think you would like to host a group, I've got something for you. It's at the end of the service. Don't lose me now. Stay with me. So we have three options. We have three options for you this morning that we're going to present to you, because we believe that just like it was in the early church, man, they did not know what was coming next. They were grasping at times and struggling. How are we going to meet all these needs? Well, we're not really sure, but they did the best they could, and that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to do the best we can to help everyone here that's interested in being connected to a life group. We're going to help you get connected at the end of this service. So we have three options for you this morning. We are inviting you to attend. We are offering a special, it's called Life Group 101. If you are interested in being part of Life Group, we're inviting you to come to 101 Life Group. We're inviting you, if you desire to be a leader, but you don't know exactly what's all involved, we're inviting you to come to Life Group 101. If you desire to be a host, we're inviting you to come to Life Group 101. We want to hit the iron while it's hot, and we want to invite you out. So guess what? We're going to start tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, we're starting Life Group 101. And if you can't make it out next Monday night, then you come out the following Monday night. Chris Gadden, a dear brother, a dear friend of mine, and also so experienced with life groups. Chris and I, we're going to be working together, and we're going to be training. We're going to be doing everything we can to get ready to launch more life groups. All you have to do is express your interest, and all you have to do is on the way out today, I have life group people that will be out there in the foyer, and they'll have a form. And you're saying, I would like to get more interest or more information. Please give us your name and all the other information. It's just not a whole lot, but so we can be ready. And if you give me your name and you give me a telephone number, I'm going to be in contact with you this afternoon. So just to let you know how we're going to respond to this. So if you're interested in helping to meet this need, please sign up today and be ready to go. I also wanted to just put in a plug for our Beta Satan, and also I want to put in for a plug for Alpha. We've had a lot of emphasis on St. Mary's launch, and that's been so cool, and they were so excited. I think, if I understood correctly, that there was probably over 100 people that showed up last Sunday. And yeah, give the Lord a hand. That thing is just absolutely incredible. And Pastor Carlo and Maddie, they're over the moon, and they got a team going on there. So we know that that's of God, and we know that God's laboring or honoring all the efforts that they put into it. And so that's going on. But now we really need to come front and center on our life groups here and also on Alpha. And one of my the members of the Alpha team said, I want you to ask this question to the Bethel Church. And so I'm going to honor, because I really honor them. And the person said, I want you to ask this question. Are you ready? Here's the question. So it's not mine. So don't get mad at me. Get mad at them. All right, here we go. Now I'm just teasing. All right. Hey, this was the way they put it to me. Hey, does everyone you know, I'm talking to you out there. Hey, does everyone you know that Bethel is running an Alpha program on Thursday? There you go. Okay, thank you very much. All right, okay. So listen, we need the Andrews that are going out and inviting people to come. So today, will you go out of your way? Say, Bethel is running an Alpha program on Thursday at 6:30. We're running Beta Satan. And say to your same friend, hey, do you know that we're running the course called Beta Satan? And let them know. And that's Tuesday night at 7. Alpha's at 6:30. What an opportunity we have. And so we're ready to go. All we need is for our people to show up. So we need the Andrew to go and tell people to come. I like that. You mind if I speak once again on behalf of my friend? I like how they said that. Hey! Gives you a little voice of authority. Hey, does everyone you know that Bethel is running an Alpha program on Thursday night, 6:30? We do now. Okay, all right. Go. I'll say, please go for it. Okay. I got to wrap it up. We're done. Listen, really. I pastored in Perry Sound many years ago. It was a long time. And Perry Sound had a beautiful community, but it was landlocked, sort of, kind of. And so people never left the church because there's no place for them to go. You know, they stayed there. And there was this one old fella, and he'd get up and preach, and he could tell just the way the sermon was going. You know, he'd look out there and he's saying they were some people were falling asleep and they were bored. And so he'd get going about 15 minutes into his sermon and he says, that's it. That's all I've got. You can go home now. and some of them went home. So but today, it's really all that I do have, but what you do next is so important. Acts 4:32-35 says this again. I want to repeat it again. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. And verse 33 says this. With great power, when we come together, the Holy Spirit wants to release his power. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. So today, I invite you to take that step of faith and fill in the blue form. It's out there. And I got people that are out there. The early church core value of coming together to meet needs and mature in their faith spiritually and numerically was very important. But more important than anything else would be the releasing of God's power as they came together. Here's the thing. When a core value is neglected, the organization loses focus, begins to flounder, and questions why they exist. Bethel, the need is great. And the hope of glory living inside of you is the answer for our world. Today, will you participate in the core value that God launched when he birthed his church, and the core value that is important for us today? Will you today take that effort, go to the people, let them know that you're interested? Bow your heads with me, please. Okay, I've talked a lot about things. I talked about needs in particular. I'm asking our prayer team to come to the forward. Today, I don't want to miss this. Anytime that we come together, there's always needs in our midst. Sometimes it's for our family. Sometimes it's our physical bodies. And I really want to encourage you today. If you got something going on physically in your body, will you come? Will you allow our prayer team to pray for you today? Will you come today and just take advantage of this moment just to be in agreement with one of them today? The Bible says that if two be agreed, it shall be done. And I just know that God wants to do miraculous things when we come together. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And as we stand, I'll pray a blessing upon you and also upon our prayer time, and see our people out in the foyer. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you today for your core value. Thank you, Father, for that it was your plan of community coming together. Lord, this is unprecedented. I have never seen this kind of day in our church. Lord, I've been here for a long time. You know that, Lord, but I've never seen a day like this when we've had our groups like that. They're full at capacity, and we still need to do it, and we need to respond, and the need around us is greater than any other day. And so, Lord, just believe that your church is alive and well. I believe, Father, that the people that are with this today and they've been listening, they understand the core value that you listed and that you released earlier in that day was that coming together, not in the only in the big setting, but in the smaller settings where we can grow. So Lord, today, thank you. Thank you for what you're continuing to do here in Bethel and what you're going to continue to do as we grasp a hold of the truth of what you did in the early church and those core values that you released then are there for us today. So Lord, I bless everyone today with that hope of eternal life. I bless them today with assurance that you are doing something fresh and new. And Lord, it's going to be revealed to them personally as they come together. So Lord, thank you for what you're going to do around the altars now. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. We hope that it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.